This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So you're there in Mina, you've prayed Salat al-Fajr, and now what did the Prophet ﷺ do? He prayed Salat al-Fajr in Mina, and then after the sun rose, the Sunnah, if you're able to. Now a lot of this is not you're not independent in your decision making because you're at the mercy of the group. Right? But if you're able to, the sunnah is to leave after the sun rises. So Prophet prayed Fajr. After the sun rose, then he headed out towards Arafah. Now Arafah, if you want to walk, some people like to walk, and you can, but to walk from the edge of Mina to the start of Arafah is 5.4 miles. Mina itself is like 2 miles long. So who knows where you're going to be in Mina. You might be on the other side, so it's an additional 2 miles, right? So you're talking 7 miles long, 7.4 miles long. And that's just to get into Arafah. Now the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I stood here, right, where he made dua for Arafah. He said, I stood here, but he says all of Arafah is a place of standing. So you could stand anywhere in Arafah as long as you're within the boundaries. And Arafah is huge. Arafah is huge. The one place that you may not feel crowded in Hajj is Arafah. There's so much space in Arafah, right? The place that will be crowded is where the Prophet ﷺ stood, right? That's where everybody will be, right? But anywhere else, all over Arafah, he says all of the places is a place of standing for Arafah. So if you want to walk, you can, just be aware of the distance, okay? The sunnah is to leave after the sun rises, like we said. As you walk, soon after you get out of Mina, you will pass by, or if you're driving in the bus, you may not be aware of it, but you will pass by a wadi called Wadi Muhassir. Wadi Muhassir, it's a valley called Muhassir. This is the valley in which Abraha was destroyed. He was there with his elephants and they stopped. And Allah SWT destroyed him in the surah that we know. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Right? It was there. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he was walking to Arafah from Mina, he hastened his pace through Wadi Muhassir. Because he does not like to be in an area where the adab of Allah had descended. Right? And so this, a reflection for us, brothers and sisters, is we shouldn't like to be in company in which it would earn the adab of Allah. We shouldn't want to be in company with a group of people who are participating in an action, backbiting, lying, doing anything haram, missing prayers, all those things, if it's going to earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as much as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hated to go through a place where the punishment of Allah came. So Wadi Muhassir is there. The Prophet hastened his way through it. And as he's going, he's continuing to say, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed Dhuhr and Asr So we said in Mina, you pray each prayer at its time, right? Dhuhr at its time, Asr at its time. When you're going to Arafah, the Prophet ﷺ prayed Dhuhr and Asr combined. Dhuhr 2 rak'ahs, Asr 2 rak'ahs. So what they did first is, there is a khutbah of Arafah. Just like you have a Jum'ah khutbah, there's a khutbah of Arafah. So the group leader, well, there's one big khutbah at Masjid Namira, if you can go there, but it's going to be super packed and it's going to be difficult because your group is going to be in one certain part of Arafah. If you can go to the masjid there, that's fine. It's called Masjid Namira. Just be careful if you're going there. So this, the Prophet, the technical sunnah, what the Prophet did is he prayed Dhuhr and Asr before entering Arafah. Namira is actually right outside Arafah. So the masjid that's there right now, half of it, the extension now, goes into Arafah. So half of the masjid, or a little more than half, is in Arafah, and the other part is outside of Arafah. So if you're going to the masjid, just be careful. If you're going to stay there for your dua, make sure you're inside Arafah, not outside Arafah. Most people, you're not going to have the chance to go there. You'll be with your group. Okay? So you enter, the Prophet, he prayed, he did the khutbah to Arafah. And the khutbah, I'm not going to talk about the khutbah, because that would take, it could be a whole course by itself, right? Khutbah al-Wada, right? We all heard about it, and it's the remarkable lessons that we learned. Prophet talked about so many different things, the honor of the believers, taking care of your woman, the superiority of no one over another based on their skin color and racism and unity and all these things he addressed. We don't have time to talk about that, unfortunately, but he gave the khutbah of Arafah. And then once he gave the khutbah, they prayed Dhuhr, they prayed Asr, 2 rak'ahs, and then he proceeded into Arafah, and from that moment on until Maghrib, he stood praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This year, Dhuhr time is a little after noon, and Maghrib time is just before Salat al-Maghrib. So you have almost 6 hours. Almost 6 hours of dua time. Right? So that's what I was saying, make a dua list from now. Don't go there and be like, what do I make dua for? Make it from now and prepare yourself. Okay? Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-Hajju Arafah. He said, Hajj is Arafah. The most important part of Hajj is Arafah. If you've missed it, you've missed your Hajj. You must be there at least sometime before Salat al-Maghrib. If you don't do that, if you don't get there in time, you've lost your Hajj. So you must be there before Salat al-Maghrib, and you should not leave before Salat al-Maghrib. So you wait till the sun sets and then you leave. Don't leave before Maghrib. Now some groups may have you load up onto the bus before Maghrib, but they don't have you leave. You're on the bus. Is that allowed? Yes. In fact, if you want to stay on the bus the whole time, you can do that. The whole 6 hours, as long as the bus is still there, right? If it leaves, then you have a problem. Right? A lot of them leave. Right? They just drop you off and they leave. But if you're, as long as you're anywhere in Arafah, that's fine. So if you get on the bus and you're loaded, but you're staying in Arafah, that's okay. But you shouldn't leave before Salat al-Maghrib. All right? And then just another comment before we get into the spiritual aspects. For those who are not going to Hajj, what's the sunnah? To fast the day of Arafah. The Prophet said in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, he says, fasting on the day of Arafah absolves the sins for 2 years, the previous year and the coming year. And he says, and fasting, Ashura forgives the sins, Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, forgives the sins of the previous year. Right? So for the non-Hujjaj, they're recommended to fast. For the Hujjaj, they're recommended to not fast. They shouldn't fast. And the reason why is, Arafah, you need your strength. This is the most important 6 hours of your life. The day of Arafah is the most important 6 hours of your life. Right? So you need full advantage to be able to take the full advantage of it. So what's the spiritual aspects of this station? Number one, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, in a hadith, Hassan, according to Albani rahimahullah, he says, خَيْرُ الدُّعَاءِ يَوْمُ عَرَفَةً وَخَيْرُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّنَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. The Prophet ﷺ, he says that the best dua that one can make is on the day of Arafah. And he says, and the best statement that I and the prophets before me have made is, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Okay? So the brother was asking, when do we say the talbiyah all the time? Yes, as much as you can. But on the day of Arafah, you make dua. You're making dua. And then if you're not making dua and you're just sitting down and taking your break, then say this dhikr. La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu al-mulku wa lahu al-hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. There's absolutely no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is one with no partners. To him belongs the kingdom, and to him is all the praise, and he has power over all things. So what we do there, we do dua and dhikr. Now, the meaning of the word Arafah comes from the root word, which from Ayn Ra Fa. Arafah. What does that mean? Arafah? Very good. To know, to recognize, to perceive, to acknowledge. This all the meanings, to be aware of. So how is that relevant to Arafah? How is that relevant to what we're doing in Arafah? On Arafah, we acknowledge, we recognize our sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We recognize our sins, and we also, not only do we recognize our shortcomings and ask Allah for forgiveness, but we also recognize Allah for who Allah is. Right? We recognize Allah for who Allah is. We recognize that Allah is Ar-Raqib, As-Sami' Al-Basir. He sees everything, He hears everything, He knows, He's aware of all of our sins. And we also recognize that He's Al-Ghafoor Ar-Rahim, Al-Wadud Al-Majid. He's the one who forgives and is most merciful, right? So we recognize our sins and our shortcomings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also recognize the asma and the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, and the scholars also say, one of the reasons why it's called Arafah is Ahlus Sama' Arafu Ahl al-Ard. The inhabitants of the skies, they get to know, they Arafu, the people of the earth. Meaning what? The people who are there at Arafah because of the deeds that are being raised to the samawat. Another meaning of Arafah is Arrafa. Arrafa means to scent, to beautify with a fragrance. Allah says, وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. Allah says, He will enter them into paradise, عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. Arrafah could, in this context, can also mean they've been made to know it. Right? Because the hadith says, when you enter paradise, you will know your way around paradise better than you know your way around your own home. You know, like if the electricity goes out at home, you still know how to get to the kitchen and get your food, right? As long as there's a biryani there, then for sure you'll figure it out one way or another, right? You'll get there, right? Allah, the hadith says, in Jannah, because Jannah is our original home. Our original home is Jannah, right? We're homesick right now. So when we go to Jannah, we'll know our way around Jannah better than we know our own home in this world. We're already familiar with the surroundings. Right, but another meaning is Allah says, وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. We will enter them into paradise, and it's been made fragrant for them. It's made beautiful and smell for them, right? And so, it's interesting because what does fragrance have to do with anything? You know, if the scholars say if sins had a smell, if the sins had an odor, we wouldn't come within miles of one another because of the amount of stench that would be coming out of us from the sins that we've committed. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do on the day of Arafah? He cleanses you from your sins and beautifies you with the fragrance of forgiveness. He cleanses you of your sins and beautifies you with the fragrance of forgiveness. Right? Now, Arafah is outside of the boundary of the Haram. Muzdalifah, Mina, all that stuff is within the boundaries of the Haram. Arafah is outside the boundaries of the Haram. So as we get ready to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like before you stand in prayer and salat in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do you do? Before you can pray, what do you have to do? What do you have to do? Come on, guys. You wake? What do you do when you wake up for Fajr? All right, somebody's awake. Make wudu. You make wudu. What does wudu do? Sweetness of the Salah students, what does wudu do to you? Purifies you, exactly. It washes away your sins until it comes out from even under your fingertips. You come out of wudu, hatta yakhruj naqiyan min adh-dhunub. You come out of wudu, you know, free of sin. So you make wudu to purify yourself before you stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We said Hajj is a journey to where? The house of Allah. So before you go to the house of Allah, you must first be cleansed of your sins. So you go to Arafah, you're scented with the scent of forgiveness, and your sins are forgiven, and then you are ready to go back into the haram and go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Umar, he narrates to the Prophet, he said, وَأَمَّا وُقُوفُكَ عَشِيَّةُ عَرَفَةً. He says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْبِطُ إِلَىٰ سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَيُبَاهِي بِكُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. He says that, the Prophet, he says, and as for your standing on the day of Arafah, certainly Allah descends to the lowest heaven and He boasts of you to His angels. And He is proud of you in front of His angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the lowest heaven in a descension that's befitting of His majesty, and He mentions the people of Arafah to the angels. This hadith says there is no space in the samawat, the width of a hand, except that there's an angel there worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how wide sama'ad dunya is? This lowest heaven? You know, every star that we've ever discovered in astronomy, every galaxy and every planet, every star, you know, trillions of light years away are all within sama'ad dunya. And all this space, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ الْكَوَاكِبِ. Allah beautified the lowest heaven with the beauty of stars. And all this space, every single space this wide, there's an angel there. And Allah descends and He boasts of the people of Arafah to these angels. What does He say? He says, يَقُولْ عِبَادِي جَاءُونِي شُعْثًا مِّن كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. My slaves have come to me unkempt and disheveled from every distant road. They've come from a long journey. Their hair may not be the most clean, their bodies may not be the most clean. You're in ihram, you're uncomfortable, you're disheveled. He says, what does He say? يَرُجُونَ جَنَّتِي. Why did they come? What brought them from their homes? If you want to go on a vacation, you don't go to Hajj. If you want to go on a vacation, why would you go to Hajj? But people go to Hajj expecting it to be a vacation. I want my 5-star hotels and my, you know, 8-course meals, and I want this and I want that. And if I don't have it, I'm going to throw a fit. This, if you want a vacation, go to Hawaii, man. Go to somewhere else. Right? The people who come, يَرُجُونَ جَنَّتِي. They came seeking Allah's paradise. So the Prophet ﷺ says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَوْ كَانَتْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ كَعَدَدِ الرَّمَلْ أَوْ كَقَطْرِ الْمَطَرْ أَوْ كَزَبَدِ الْبَحْرِ لَغَفَرْتُهَا. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if their sins were like the number of sand, you're in a desert. Reflect on that as you're going to Arafah. Look at how much sand there is. And Allah is saying, if your sins were as numerous of not just the sand of Arafah, not just the sand of Mina, but the sand of the whole world, that many sins. And he says, or if they were as numerous as the raindrops, or as numerous like the foam in the sea, he says, I will forgive it. Then he says, أَفِيضُوا عِبَادِي مَغْفُورًا لَكُمْ وَلِمَنْ شَفَعْتُمْ لَهُ. Go forth, my slaves. You have been forgiven your sins, and whoever you have interceded for on their behalf. So you go to Hajj and you make dua for your parents, they're granted your dua as well. You make dua for your friends, your brothers, your sisters, they're granted your dua as well. Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he was asked, هَلْ يَنْظُرُ الْحَاجُ فِي الْمِرْآهِ. He was asked, should the Hajj, the person who's performing Hajj, should he look in the mirror? Right, guys, we like to look in the mirror, make sure we're looking nice, looking fly, making sure we're going, you know, beard's all nice, hijab is all fixed, right, you know. Every time you walk in a parking lot, you stop by each mirror in the car, and you look at yourself, you know, just make sure you're looking nice, right. Imam Ahmad is saying, should the person performing Hajj, should he look in the mirror? And he says, إِن كَانَ يَنْظُرُ مِنْ أَجْلِ إِصْلَاحِ شَعْرَةٍ فَلَا. He says, if he's looking in the mirror for the purpose of fixing his hair, to look nice, he says, then no. Why? حَتَّى لَا يَذْهَبَ شَعْثُهُ. So that way his disheveled appearance doesn't leave him. Because Allah boasts of the Hujjaj, look how they came. Look how uncomfortable they are, but they came just seeking my paradise. So I gave it to them. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he says, don't do that. So you stand there and you acknowledge your sins to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you acknowledge who Allah is. Right? And you have to understand this, brothers and sisters. Allah says in the Quran, Allah says in Hadith Qudsi, Ya ibadi, law anna awalakum wa akhirakum wa insakum wa jinnakum qamu fi sa'idin wahid, fasa'aluni, fa'a'taytu kulla insanin mas'alata. He says, if all of mankind, not just the 3 million people at Arafah, if all of mankind stood on a plane like Arafah, mankind and jinn, and they all ask me whatever they want from their heart's desire. And he says, and I gave everybody what they asked. مَا نَقَصَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا عِنْدِي إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْقُصُ الْمِخْيَطُ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرِ. He says, that would decrease what I have, except like when the ocean, a needle is dipped in the ocean, what is taken out. So meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you ask. It's not hard for Allah. And to think that it's hard for Allah is almost blasphemous. Allah is al-ghani. He has everything in the dominion in the kingdom. He can give whatever he wants. So think good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? If you went to a rich person, you went to the most richest person ever and said, hey, I need 100 bucks. Wouldn't he be offended if you thought he wouldn't give it to you? He's the most rich person ever. Right? And he has $1 trillion in the bank account and you're asking for $100 and you think he wouldn't give it to you? Like, that's offensive, right? So wallah al-mathal al-a'la, deal with Allah, understand who Allah is. That's not difficult. Whatever you want to ask Him, it's not difficult for Him, right? He says in the Hadith Qudsi, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي. I will be to my slave as he thinks of me. So if you're confident in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reciprocate that with you and how He deals with you, right? So subhanAllah, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, he was asked on the day of Arafah. A man came to him on the day of Arafah and asked him, he says, مَنْ أَسْوَأُ هَذَا الْجَمْعِ حَالًا. Who's the worst person here? Of all these people here in Hajj and Arafah, who's the worst person? You know what he says? الَّذِي يَظُنُّ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ لَهُ. The worst person is the one who thinks Allah won't forgive him. This is the day in which the sins are forgiven. Shaytan is never more defeated or more disgraced or more humiliated and more depressed on a day besides the day of Badr, except for the day of Arafah. Why? Because of what he sees from the mercy of Allah descending upon the people and they're being forgiven. I mean, how many people who went to Arafah who were sick and Allah cured them? How many people who went to Arafah who were in need, Allah granted them their need? How many people who were in debt and Allah took care of their debt? How many people who went seeking forgiveness from Allah and Allah forgave them? How many people went seeking protection from hellfire and Allah freed them from hellfire? How many people went seeking Jannah, Allah gave them Jannah? What would stop you from being amongst one of those people, right? So you go out and you stand under the sun. And you know what's interesting is that when you stand under the sun, so here's a few things. So how Arafah works is you go to Arafah and what's going to happen is you're going to sit there and then you're going to be asked about, you know, it'll be time for food. It'll be time for food, right? So what's going to happen? You pray Dhuhr, you pray Asr, and they're going to say, hey, look, we're going to bring food. If that happens, if they're bringing a buffet or bringing their meals, they bring like meals in like boxes and stuff. My recommendation is this, is save up some food from Mina from before, some dates, some bread, whatever, keep it light, some water, whatever it is, enough for you, okay? Keep a couple bottles of water and some dates and some bread, whatever, but don't waste your time. People waste their time an hour sitting and standing in line for food, or an hour waiting for the food to come. They're lying down, people are sleeping in Arafah, in their tents, after Dhuhr. These 6 hours are the most important 6 hours of your life. Don't waste it. Beware of the distractions, right? Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Bring your food, whatever it is. Take an apple with you or whatever. But let that suffice you. This day is not the day for eating, okay? I'm not saying just faint or something. I'm saying don't be distracted. Because what happens is if you go to the buffet, if there's a buffet there, you may have a buffet, you may not. You know, depending on which package, you know, those supreme packages that have a buffet. Then what happens is people are going to eat more than they're supposed to eat, right? Because their eyes are bigger than their stomach. And after you eat, the more you're supposed to eat, what happens? You get sleepy, right? And so you're going to sleep, you're going to be lazy, you're going to be sleepy, and you're going to miss out on Arafah. So eat light, eat a few things, and then focus on your worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And I would recommend going out and standing under the sun. I would recommend, if you're physically able to, especially if you're younger, go out and stand under the sun. Why do I say that? Because when you stand under the sun, what does it remind you of? The Day of Judgment. On the day when the sun will be brought, 1 mile away. So when you're standing there in Arafah making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're feeling the heat of the sun, and you're feeling hot, and as this day progresses, it gets hotter and hotter, right? It's going to push you to an inner realization that, Ya Allah, I'm having difficulty bearing this. How can I bear 50,000 years under the sun that's 1 mile away? How can I do it? I can't. And then just take a moment and look around you. And you see millions of people all wearing the death shroud. The ihram, quote unquote, the death shroud. All standing in this plane. All standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It reminds you of the Day of Judgment. Right? And so, and then subhanAllah, you may find some places where there's shade. And you may not have shade. And you know what's going to remind you of? The Day of Judgment, the day there will be shade for certain people, but there's no shade for anyone else. There'll be shade for 7 types of people, but not anyone else. So it'll push you to want to be amongst those 7 types of people. A young man or a young woman who was raised worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to be like that. The person who donates what his right hand gives, his left hand doesn't even know. He's so generous, he just gives and doesn't even realize how much he's giving. The one who he was alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembered Allah and his eyes began flowing with tears. Right, the man who is the imam who is just. You want to be amongst these 7 people, right? So this feeling pushes you. And when you look around, you know what's interesting? Surah Al-Hajj, Surah 22 in the Quran. You know what the first verses of Surah Al-Hajj is? The surah about Hajj, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد.
Allah says, O mankind, fear your Lord and be dutiful to Him. Have taqwa of Allah. Verily, the shaking of the hour is a mighty thing, is a terrible thing. On the day you shall see it, every nursing mother will forget her nursling, and every pregnant woman will drop her load. And you shall see mankind as if they are drunk, but they are not drunk. They look as if they're drunk, but they're not drunk. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ But rather, the punishment of Allah is severe. So you see the people, amount of people there reminds you of the Day of Judgment. You feel the sun reminds you of the Day of Judgment. And it pushes you to plead with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for His forgiveness. And brothers and sisters, when you make dua to Allah, you make dua like the one of someone who is drowning in the ocean, calling out for someone to save him. That's the desperation you should have in your dua. Begging Allah, raise your hands like this. Raise your hand above your head, saying, Ya Allah, your hands like a beggar, out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, above your head, like the Prophet did before the Battle of Badr. When the things were at the most urgency, he raised his hands till izar was falling off his shoulders. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? So you're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beg Allah as if you're drowning and He's the only one who can save you. And then, this day, brothers and sisters, is a day, if your eyes don't shed tears, if you don't cry on this day, then your heart's in the ICU. Your heart's in the ICU, or ma'ad Allah, it could be worse than that. This is the day the heart, the eyes shed tears, the heart breaks in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begs Him for forgiveness. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ أَنْ يُعْتِقَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ عَبْدًا مِنَ النَّارِ مِنْ يَوْمِ عَرَفَ وَإِنَّهُ لَيَدْنُو ثُمَّ يُبَاهِي بِهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَ فَيَقُولُ مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءِ. The Prophet ﷺ says in Sahih Muslim and Nasa'i ibn Majah, he says that there is no day in which Allah frees more of His slaves from the fire than the day of Arafah. And he draws near to them and he praises them to the angels and he says, what do these people want? What did they come for? مَا أَرَادَ هَؤُلَاءَ. What do they want? Meaning he will give them. Right? The poet, he says, إِنَّ الْمُلُوكَ إِذَا شَابَتْ عَبِيدُهُمُ فِي رِقِّهِمُ عَتَقُوهُمْ عِتْقَ أَبْرَارِ وَأَنْتَ يَا رَبِّ أَوْلَى بِذَا كَرَمًا فَقَدْ شِبْنَا فِي الرِّقِّ فَأَعْتِقْنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. He says that certainly, O Allah, he says, kings, when their slaves become old, in their servitude they free them, out of being charitable towards them. So he says, oh Allah, you are more generous than that, and we have become old in our slavery to you. So Allah, free us from the hellfire. This is the most important day of your life, brothers and sisters. Make it count. Make every second count. Make every second count. And like we said, make sure your dua list is prepared. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, one of the things you'll learn from Hajj, when you make dua for 6 hours long, dua connects you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come back, one of the life-changing lessons from Hajj is that dua, you come back with a heart that's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're literally talking to Allah day and night. In Hajj, you're talking to Allah all the time. It's as if He's your best friend. He's like right next to you and you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, you have this direct connection with Allah. You're praising Allah and thanking Allah and asking Allah throughout the steps of Hajj. And so when you leave Hajj, you come back with this heart that's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those of you who haven't yet gone to Hajj, one of the lessons that you should take is connect your heart to Allah through dua. If there's something if you don't have right now in your life, things that you're begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, that you're asking Allah every day and night, that's an ardent desire in your heart, then you're missing out on a sweetness that Allah gives to some of His slaves who He allows to connect to Him and allows to draw close to Him. Right? And those who do that, for them 6 hours in Hajj, brothers and sisters, is too short. 6 hours is too short. It's too short. When the sun is setting, subhanAllah, the most bitter moment of Hajj, the most bitter moment of Hajj is as the sun draws to setting on the day of Arafah. Because you realize the day is ending, and subhanAllah, the tears just flow. The tears just flow. This is the last moments which Allah has drawn close and is boasting of you to the angels. Right? So, that moment when the sun is setting, the urgency sets in, and you begin to cry out with another level of desperation, even more than you've already demonstrated to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when the sun finally sets and Arafah is over, a coolness sets over the plains of Arafah. This coolness sets over it. The sun is down, the sun is gone, you're standing under the sun for so long, and the sun sets. This coolness sets over. SubhanAllah, you feel it. And subhanAllah, the heart also feels a coolness. Sins leave a fire in the heart. That's what we ask Allah to وَنَقِّنَا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ وَالْخَطَايَا كَمَا يَنَقَّطُ الْعَذَابُ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ وَاغْسِلْنَا مِنْ خَطَايَا بِالْمَاءِ وَالثَّلْجِ وَالْبَرَدِ. Cleanse us of our sins with water and snow and ice. Why? Because sins leave a heat in the heart. In the day of Arafah, Ya Allah, when the sun sets, you feel this coolness in your heart that nothing has ever matched it before. Nothing is equivalent to it. It's a remarkable feeling to be there on the day of Arafah. You entered heavy, burdened by your sins, and you leave free like a bird. You leave free and light. And I'll read to you some poetry of Ibn al-Qayyim and we'll take a break. He says, and subhanAllah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he has this remarkable poem about Hajj. You know, when he describes the first time you see the Kaaba, you know, describes Arafah, describes the different stages. It's so powerful. And it's, you know, I'll read it in Arabic and I'll translate it. You know, the translation doesn't do it justice. But those of you who know Arabic, I would definitely recommend look up the poem of Ibn al-Qayyim and read it about Hajj. It's just, yeah, Allah, it's something else. So he says, وَرَاحُوا إِلَى التَّعْرِيفِ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةً وَمَغْفِرَةً مِمَّنْ يَجُودُ وَيُكْرِمُ فَلَاللَّهِ ذَاكَ الْمَوْقِفُ الْأَعْظَمُ الَّذِي كموقف يوم العرض بل ذاك أعظم ويدنو به الجبار جل جلاله يباهي بهم أملاكه فهو أكرم يقول عبادي قد أتوني محبة وإني بهم بر أجود وأرحم وأشهدكم أني غفرت ذنوبهم وأعطيتهم ما أملوه وأنعموا فبشراكم يا أهل ذا الموقف الذي به يغفر الله الذنوب ويرحم فكم من عتيق فيه كمل عتقه وآخر يستسعى وربك أرحم.
He says, and they go to Arafah seeking the mercy and forgiveness from the one overflowing with generosity and kindness. For Allah is that magnificent standing, like though lesser than, the standing of the Day of Judgment. And Allah, the one who mends, draws near, His majesty manifest, boasting to His angels, for He is the most generous. He says, my slaves have come to me out of love, and I am merciful to them.
Bounteous and loving. So witness, O angels, وَأُشْهِدُكُمْ أَنِّي غَفَرْتُ ذُنُوبَهُمْ. O angels, witness that I have forgiven their sins, and I have given them what they've asked and what they hope for, and even given them more favors than that. So فَبُشْرَاكُمُ يَا أَهْلَ ذَا الْمَوْقِفِ الَّذِي بِهِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ الذُّنُوبَ وَيَرْحَمُ. So glad tidings, O people of that standing in Arafah.
When Allah forgives all the sins and showers His mercy, for how many slaves are set completely free while others seek a cure, and Allah is the most merciful. So we'll end that. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. إن شاء الله تعالى, we'll break for Salat al-Dhuhr in 10 minutes.